All right, so we are in our final week of spiritual disciplines. So if you're here, you've made it through. We're talking about perseverance today. So perseverance in the disciplines. So if you're coming and you're like, man, I've heard all these disciplines over and over and over again. I'm going to add another one today. I'm not going to add another one today. So that's kind of a little bit of relief. There's not going to be and do this today. But we are going to talk about the importance of doing these and of persevering in these today. So hopefully it'll be a useful time of a little bit of reflection of looking back, remembering where we've been this summer, but then kind of putting it in the context of what am I to do with this? How am I to think of this when it goes awry? How am I to think of this when I struggle, when there's dry seasons? How am I to think of this when I don't want to pray, when I don't want to read my Bible, when I just want to just stop? And so we're going to look at those things in a very honest perspective today. But I just want to start with just a great appreciation for all the different teachers who have led us this summer. It's definitely been a blessing just to see the giftedness of the body of Christ and how different individuals can come up and teach and lead us well in these things. So that's definitely been a blessing for me, and I know for everyone else in here. So that has been, yeah, a blessing from God this summer. So as this is the last week, if you see your sheet there, we're going to do a little bit of review. And we're not doing review for review's sake. So I don't feel obligated to do review. I'm doing it for a purpose. So we started off, Kelly did an introduction, so why the spiritual disciplines? Spiritual disciplines for a purpose, for the purpose of godliness. So we don't do these things for extra credit. We don't do these things to be extra holy or to look better, but it's for the end goal of godliness. And that's what we see in the Bible, that these things are to lead to godliness. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's end where we began a little bit here. First Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read 6 to 10. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself or discipline yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. So we have a command here. We are to, if we're a believer, if we are trusting in Jesus Christ and the gospel, we are commanded to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Again, it's some passing observations. It's not a you could or you should discipline yourself. It might be a good idea. You'll get extra credit points if you do this. People will think you're holy. People will look up to you. People will give you higher positions in the church of service. People will see you've got it all figured out. No, this is a command saying discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It's not an option here. And I think we need to look at something else too, is why are we disciplining ourselves? Kelly covered this very well the first week. We're putting ourselves in the pathways of God's grace. So God has revealed in the Bible different spiritual activities in which God will give you grace. And it's not a magical formula. It's not, I'm going to open my Bible and somehow grace is going to jump off the page. No, but God has designed that in His Word, His word will so work in your life as a believer that you will receive grace and growth and godliness through it. So this is not a legalistic thing. We'll get back to that later. But this is putting yourself in the pathway where God has revealed to you that you will grow, that you will become more Christ-like, and that you will be pleasing to Him that way. So that's why we're doing it. We're doing these disciplines for a purpose, for the purpose of godliness, for the purpose of conformance to the image of Christ. So then the next week, I got to teach about Bible intake. So we had 2 weeks of Bible intake. I did the first one, Abe did the second one. So I got to say, look in the Bible, what does it tell us about the importance of the Bible? It tells us we need to be hearing the Bible. We need to be going to a church that preaches the Bible. We need to be going to a church where the gospel is proclaimed, where God's word is taught, because the Spirit will use God's word in my life as a believer to change me. So we said that. So what's one way to discipline yourself to hear the word of God? It's to go to a church that preaches the gospel and teaches the Bible. What's another way? It's to read the Bible. It's to be habitually in God's word, exposing myself to what God will honor and what God will use to grow me. So I am to read the Bible, I am to hear the Bible, I am to study the Bible, to go in depth, to slow down. So if I think of my yearly Bible reading as kind of a 30,000 foot view of the whole storyline of the Bible, which is important, it's important to step back and study it and really hammer home the important details of the faith to get a good understanding, to slow down. Then Abe got to teach us the next week the importance of memorization of the word. So Jesus memorized the word of God. How much more so should we? Abe highlighted the fact that in the temptations, Jesus was able to come back to Satan every time with scripture, and he didn't have a scroll there. That was for memorization. Jesus memorized scripture. We need to hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against God. So memorizing scripture, meditating on scripture. Abe led us well in saying it's not just read the Bible, set it on the shelf, and go on your day. No, it's taking something and saying, how can I keep thinking about this throughout the day? Does it take writing a note in a note card in my wallet? Does it take putting something on my dash of my car? How do I remember to think back about what I have been reading and working through? And then finally, Abe talked about the importance of applying the word. So how do I apply what God has revealed in Scripture? And so it's important. James says we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So if I'm just merely hearing, if I'm just merely reading, and if I'm studying for studying's sake, and I'm not doing out of a heart of love for God, it's useless. So I need to endeavor to apply what I learn from the pulpit on Sunday, from my reading throughout the week, through memorizing scripture. I need to apply those things. The next week then, Jeremy led us in the spiritual discipline of prayer. So not only did he say about why we should pray, he talked about different ways you should pray, that we should pray. We should confess our sin. We should praise God. We should make requests of the Creator God who freely gives us all things to those who believe, those that He knows that we need. But I think even more importantly, Jeremy covered praying through Scripture. It's one of our author's better groundbreaking concepts as far as getting us out of the rut of prayer is we should pray the Bible. We should take what we read and we should pray that. So an example there would be if I read a psalm, I could read all these great and glorious things about God. I can turn around and I can pray and praise God for those characteristics or for those things that He has done. It can prompt me to get out of this rut of praying for the same things the same way all the time. And it can prompt me to pray for things that's after God's own heart. I can see things that people in the Bible pray for other believers and I can say, I should pray that for other believers. I could see salvation explain in the Bible, and I can pray and praise God that He would save sinners like us. So as we're reading the Bible, it should be a prompt to prayer. We hear from God in the Bible, and we communicate back to Him in prayer. And so if that is something you're still struggling with and something that you want to pursue more, one of Don Whitney's suggestions is taking a psalm a day, go by the number date on the calendar, so today would be what? Today is the 9th. So either read Psalm 9, 39, 69, 99, or 129. Just pick one. Read it and pray it. Yeah, you can say you can do that every day, but the 31st, right? That doesn't work. 31, 61, 91, 121, 151. But you have four options there still. So you can kind of see that might be a good jump start for you. Or you could just take the passage you're reading and say, what are these truths about God? What can I praise Him for? What were they asking of God? Can I ask those same things? What were they confessing sin about? Can I confess that same sin? Do Do I need to look at that sin in my life? And so these are good prompts to prayer to God. If you want more information on that, Don Whitney just came out with a book, Praying the Bible. I would strongly recommend that. So Praying the Bible by Don Whitney. Then Jordan led us in thinking about evangelism as defined by the Bible. So often we think of evangelism, we can fall into thinking, well, that's the paid pastoral staff's job, or that's the ministry director's job, or that's just somebody else's job. I'm not gifted in evangelism, that's not my spiritual gift. And Jordan did a good job of just kind of taking that apart and saying, no, evangelism is for everybody. As a believer, you are called to follow the Great Commission. You're called to proclaim the gospel. And he talked about how we have this misconception of what success in presenting the gospel is. Success in presenting the gospel is not having someone believe the gospel. Is that our ultimate, is that our goal? Is that what we desire and pray for? Absolutely. But it's God's work to save. It's God's work to open the eyes. You can't measure your success on something you can't do. Your success is measured on, are you faithful to present the gospel? If you faithfully present the gospel, that was a successful evangelism encounter for you. That was a successful way of you loving your neighbor. So we share the gospel because we're commanded to share the gospel, and it's all God's people's work to do that. Then Rick covered the spiritual discipline of serving. And I thought Rick did an especially good job of saying, we don't serve because God needs us. As though God needs anything. We don't make up some lacking God. We don't help out poor God who is needy. No, we serve out of a heart of love and obedience to our God. We're commanded to serve, but we're all commanded to serve in different ways. We're all gifted to serve in different ways. The Bible talks about we are all gifted by God with different spiritual gifts that God has apportioned himself. And we are called to use those gifts. So this Bible class this summer, a great example of that. We had several different men up here teaching the Bible, teaching us in this. They have been gifted in that. They should serve in that. Should it always be Sunday morning? No, it might be Wednesday night with youth. It might be preaching on Sunday morning. It can look at different ways, but you're commanded to serve. Oh, is it just teaching? No, it's all sorts of serving. And not one of them gets special brownie points from God. Though we as men can overlook and not favor some forms of serving, if you serve the way God has called you to serve, you are pursuing godliness in that. If your heart is right, you're serving the way God has called you to serve, you're pursuing godliness. Next, Mike led us in the spiritual discipline of stewardship. Not only did he talk about you are a steward of your money, God has given you money to be responsible with it and to use it the way he's called you to. And in fact, he talked about that kind of example of if you died and someone was going back and looking at a biography of your checkbook, of your finances, would there be enough evidence in there to convict you beyond a reasonable doubt that you might have been a Christian? Or would they look at it and say, looks like someone who's an unbeliever. That's a hard thing. Obviously, how you spend your money doesn't make you a Christian. But as Christians, as those who believe in the gospel, we are to be obedient in how we spend our money. We are to use the money that God has given us for his purposes. But then he also got into that idea of stewardship of time. So we have been called to steward our time. We're responsible for our time. So while money, we all might be given different amounts of money in this room, we're all given 24 hours in a day. We might have different lifespans, so we could get into that. But in the day, you're given the exact same resource. So how do you steward your time? So this gets back to the heart of our crazy busy study in our small groups this summer. What we do with our time needs to reflect the priorities and worship of God. So what we do with our time needs to reflect what God would have us do. And again, that wasn't some simplistic, well, just read your Bible and pray all the time. No, that's not what the Bible commands us to do, but we are to look at every moment, everything in our schedule as an opportunity to worship God, to love God with all of our heart, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Then Steve led us in the disciplines of silence and solitude. Even though he was tempted just to stand up here for an hour and not say anything, he didn't do that. But he did stress the importance of getting away and quieting your life. So how can I get away from some of the noise of everyday life? And when Don Whitney wrote this book, he talked about all the constant noise in the 80s. Well, there's more noise available now. Your cell phone has constant noise, whether it's ringing or whether it's a smartphone. You have access to billions of web pages, the radio, TV, regular internet on your computer, a tablet device. But then we think, okay, but how about this? That make anybody uncomfortable there for that 5 seconds that I didn't say anything? We're uncomfortable with silence. We're uncomfortable without filling it in. In fact, there's somebody in this room who probably kind of want to say, should I be saying something? Should I fill this void? We're uncomfortable with silence. But we need to get away to quiet our minds so we can quiet our hearts before our God. If I'm constantly busy and I constantly have noise, I'm not probably going to be reflective back to seeing where I'm falling short of the glory of God. Where am I sinning this week? Where has God called me to repentance and change? If I have no time for quiet reflection, I'm not going to do it, because quiet reflection is painful. It makes me look at myself in the mirror of God's word and see where I fall short. It's easier to be ignorant of that. But we're meant to be driven to the gospel and to see where God has called us to change and growth. Steve also talked about the importance of journaling. So the ability to write down what you're going through. It, not only would that help you think these things through, but it's also a testimony of God's grace. If you keep a journal consistently, you can look back 5, 10 years before and say, wow, look what I was going through, and look how God provided that through that, which I would have no way to believe He would. Look at the sin I was struggling with then, and by God's grace, He's given me more victory over that sin today. So it's a way to have a testimony of God's grace, to be a reminder to you of the goodness and grace of God. Then Roger led us in speaking to the spiritual discipline of fasting. So he rightly told us that it wasn't for dieting purposes. It's not for external show. It's out of a heart of love to God. It can be out of a heart of repentance, out of a drive for a hunger that God is the one who supplies everything we need. It can be a call for a serious prayer. But again, it can also be used as a time of, I was preparing food. I was eating. I'm not using that time for that now. What can I do? I can dive into one of these other spiritual disciplines in that time. All of a sudden, I have time opened up in my day to where I can get before God and I can try to cling to Him. I can try to draw near to Him through the means He's given me to do. Then last week, Jeremy talked about the discipline of learning. So becoming a Christian is not actually an easy experience. Christ said it's going to be a hard experience of following Him, because the world is going to hate you. You're going to suffer. And for some of us, we have a slight suffering of wanting to continue to learn. So it's not as our culture would portray in the past of a Christian becoming a Christian and all you do is dream about floating around on a cloud someday. That's not what we're called to as believers. We're called to know God. We are called to learn more about God. Jeremy did that well last week in leading us in that. We are finite beings who God can reveal more and more of Himself through His Word. So are we doing that? Are we taking advantage of good Christian resources, of being lifelong learners, of trying to show our kids the importance of learning as they grow? So that was a really quick overview, and I hope if you're here and you taught this summer, you're like, oh, he missed an important part I said. Well, go back and listen to it if it's on the website. But hopefully that was kind of a good overview of what we want to be doing as far as these spiritual disciplines. But before we go on, I want you to look at your worksheet there. And there's two questions. Or did I change it? Where did my handout go? There's three questions now. So there's three questions on your group discussion there. I want you guys to talk about that in your groups. So by God's grace, in which of these disciplines have you seen the most growth in this summer? Which of these disciplines is the hardest for you and why? And what's your plan to apply what we have learned this summer? So take about 5 minutes, and then we'll get on to the rest of our study for today. But take 5 minutes, talk through those three questions. So even if you missed this summer, we just kind of had a brief overview of what we talked about. So some of those questions can apply to you still. So go ahead and take 5 minutes. All right, let's come back together here. So hopefully that was a beneficial reflection of saying, okay, we talked about all those things. I talked about those really quickly, but hopefully it kind of sprung your mind to think back when those were covered in depth. Again, if you missed one of those, a good amount of them are available on the website. Otherwise, you could pick up Donald Whitney's book itself, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, if there was something you wanted to fill in there. So persevere in the spiritual disciplines for the purpose of godliness. So we're doing all the rest of these disciplines for the purpose of godliness. We should do perseverance for the purpose of godliness then also. And on the top of your handout there, it says, truly we are crazy busy. So if you took part in our summer study, that's what we've been talking about all summer in men's and women's groups, right? We've been talking about this fact that we're always busy with something. So even if I'm the guy who goes home after work and watches TV from 6 to midnight and goes to bed, I've busied myself watching TV. So if I'm not running around to 1,000 different activities, I'm still busy. And so what do you think the number one reason is that we don't grow in some of these or do any of them maybe? It's because we think we're too busy. We just don't have the time. Maybe when my schedule opens up, I'll be able to do one or two of these things. Maybe when my schedule opens up, then I'll start to memorize scripture. Maybe then I'll start serving at church in that way God has called me to, but I haven't really wanted to do because it's inconvenient. Maybe I will do those things when my schedule is free. But so Kevin DeYoung in our summer studies kind of let that out and said, your schedule's never going to free. You're never just going to say, oh wow, now I have an extra 20 hours a week. I should start doing the things I've been commanded to do. It's always going to be filled with something else. It's always going to be filled with something else. Your life will never get slower. It's going to be filled with something. You're going to always have 24 hours in a day. But again, so if we truly believe, as Dr. Whitney has led us this summer through his book, that these are the pathways of God's grace, these are the things God has called you to pursue for the purpose of godliness, if we truly believe that, we ought to be doing them, or at least attempting to grow in them. And I think Kevin DeYoung in our summer study did well to say, again, your life is never going to be less busy. But what you need to do is you need to look at your priorities. What we need to do is we need to look at what we are prioritizing. Because as he pointed out, if we are going to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, the two greatest commandments, you're never going to have, quote unquote, enough time to do everything. And so when we think about that, we're meant to be busy. We're not meant to sit around emptying our minds, picturing floating on a cloud someday. That's not the Christian life. So we're going to be busy. Again, the question is, what are we going to be busy doing? Will we give God the priority, our choice portion of time? Will we use our time to pursue godliness, or are we going to use it to pursue something else? Again, so if you weren't in the summer study, the final chapter really hit this hard this week, so it was kind of fresh, and I thought it fit well. So DeYoung said that the reason we don't pursue, he used Bible reading, but I think you could say spiritual disciplines. The reason we don't pursue spiritual disciplines as we should is that we really don't believe that they are the choice portion of our lives. If someone would ask us, what's the best thing, what's the most important thing about your life? If you're a Christian, you're probably going to, you should say, my relationship with Jesus, God, my church, all those kind of things. That's what you should say. But our lives show, what are we really buying? what are we really believing? If we don't believe that growing in our relationship with God through the disciplines is more important than sleep, we're going to sleep in. If we don't believe that getting time alone with God is more important than watching TV or that sporting event, we're going to watch TV or do the sporting event. So I'm talking to myself here. I'm not just trying to like cast a bunch of guilt on us. If we really believe that God is the choice portion, we ought to spend our time there. Or at least a good amount of our time. A time that shows he's our priority. Now you say, no, Justin, is that legalism again? Spend time with God, don't do this. Do this, don't do that. Do these things, don't do that things, or at least do these things more than those things. Here's your list, go do it. No, that's not what I'm saying. I think John Piper's put it well. He has a famous saying that's advanced his ministry and that God has used when he said, God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. So we pursue these things out of a love for God. We don't pursue them out of performance or what others think of us, of our pride. We don't pursue them for betterment of self as the end goal. No, we pursue it because in these things we know we find God. In these things we know we find our satisfaction only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are daily reminded of those things as we practice these. So if our heart is right, if our heart is of worship to God and of loving obedience to God, that's not legalism, that's obedience, and that is growing in the grace of God. So when we do these things, is it to find satisfaction of your soul in God rather than the world? Is it to find satisfaction of your soul in the gospel rather than temporal things? Again, can the spiritual disciplines turn into legalism? You bet. If you say, I have to do these things, I can't do other things, I must do these, it's a magic formula, this earns me favor with God, this earns my salvation, yeah, that's legalism. You bet that is. But if it's a God and Christ honoring pursuit of godliness through the gospel, it brings God glory. If my heart is to be satisfied in God, and that's why I pursue these things, it's going to bring God glory. These spiritual disciplines, again, are a means of God's grace. They're God's working in you. If your heart is right, these things are meant to bring you closer to God and should be pursued with all of our might. So again, they're not to be looked to as a magic formula. No, they're looked to as the means God has provided for you to pursue your relationship with Him, to draw closer to Him, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So let's keep going there. So the role of the Holy Spirit in the pursuit of the disciplines. I'm going to read from the book today, not too much, but enough because I don't think I can put it better than Whitney did here in this book. Wherever the Holy Spirit dwells, His presence creates a hunger for holiness. His office is to magnify Christ. And it is He who gives the believer a desire to be like Christ. The natural man has no such passion. But in the Christian, the Spirit of God begins to carry out the will of God to make the child of God like the Son of God. So that's Romans 8:29. And He who began this good work in the life of the believer will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. So it is the role of the Holy Spirit to produce within us the desire and the power for the disciplines that lead to godliness. This right here is why a non-Christian can't pursue the spiritual disciplines and it lead to godliness. Do we believe God's word will convict the non-Christian and that He can use it to shed the gospel into the eyes of that non-believer and they can see the glory of God in the gospel of Christ? We do. But there is no such promise of being in God's good favor just by having a non-Christian pray, serve, or read the Bible. Those things don't lead to godliness for them. No, the Holy Spirit is the one that needs to be a part of this. The Spirit is the one who's going to convict you of sin, but the Spirit is also all about using God's Word, because God's Word magnifies Jesus Christ. So again, it's not legalistic. You can't do it by yourself. You need the Spirit. You need God to even pursue godliness. So the big takeaway again here is God's Spirit will work inside of the believer to grow your desire to practice these. He will cause you to be faithful until the end in the perseverance of these disciplines and the perseverance of your faith. So it's, again, it's not something I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I can't do it on my own. So what's an appropriate prayer? I can pray to God that His Spirit would spur me on in these things, that He would cause me to have a love for His Word, that He would cause me to desire spending time with Him, that He would cause a desire for me to be in church on Sunday mornings, to hear the Word, to apply it to myself. He would cause me a desire to memorize Scripture, to pray. So what's the best thing I can do if I don't want to pray and I don't feel like praying? I can pray to God that the Spirit would convict me of that and the Spirit would move. Because again, you can't pray apart from the Spirit. You can't pray apart from the work of God. So the Spirit, so that's the good news, right? It's not based, it's kind of like our How People Change study. So when I'm looking at this idea of pursuing spiritual disciplines, it's not based on my past track record. It's not based upon my means to do it and my ability to pursue these things. No, if I'm a believer, I know that the Spirit dwells within me and He will help me to do these things. He will cause me to have a desire for these things. Let's keep moving. The role of fellowship in the pursuit of the spiritual disciplines. So again, here it's important to remember that the Christian life is not meant to be lived in isolation. We are meant to be living this Christian life in context of a community of a local church, where we rub shoulders with believers who are also sinners, where we get offended and where we offend, where we have relationships of repentance and forgiveness, where we have relationships that spur us on. So we're meant to be in the context of a local church. We're meant to live our life in that. So this extends to the practice of the spiritual disciplines. There's obvious spiritual disciplines that you can't do by yourself. So on Sunday morning when we come and we all gather and we sit here to be under the authority of the Word of God, that's not the same as me plugging in a podcast at home on a Sunday morning. That's not the same thing. There's no fellowship. There's no spurring each other on. There's no community and fellowship of the Spirit. That's an isolated event. So can God use a podcast to teach you things? You bet. That's not meant to be your primary feeding of the Word. Their feeding of the Word is to be with the people you rub shoulders with the people that you can be accountable to, that can help spur you on, that can keep pointing you back to the gospel. So that is what we're to do. We're supposed to do that in community. Well, what about serving? How does serving make sense if I try to pursue that by myself? If you pursue serving by yourself, what are you going to do? You're going to serve yourself, which is the exact opposite of the commands in Scripture. You're supposed to be a servant. You're supposed to count others. We're supposed to count others as greater than ourselves. So you can't serve ourselves as a pursuing of godliness. So those are funny, but what about Bible reading and prayer? What about meditating on God's Word? What about memorizing Scripture? Can those be done in the context of community? Yeah, they can. And God can use other believers in your life if you're going through something together, because they're going to come up with things at a different angle and look at them than you are. You're going to say, oh wow, I didn't really see that. But yeah, that is there. Or you're going to be able to say, wow, look what God is doing in another brother or sister's life, and say, praise be to God for how He's growing them this way. That's a great example for me to follow. Or you're going to be able to look and say, wow, so-and-so really seems like that God is blessing their time in the Word. How can I learn from them? Not that it has to be exactly the same, but you can use that person to help disciple you. God can use that to help disciple you, to train you for the purpose of godliness. And so again, this is entitled fellowship. So Christian fellowship is kind of, in our church culture, kind of got a bad definition these days. So Christian fellowship can be simple as as just eating food, as going to a sporting event, as doing whatever activity. But there's nothing really Christian about that unless you're endeavoring as a community to apply the word to each other, to ourselves. You're applying to magnify the grace of God in Christ and saying, look what Christ has done for me, wretched sinner that I am. When you can say, I could never have done that, but look what God did. Those kind of things encourage the faith of your fellow Christians. And you know what also encourages the faith of your fellow Christians? I have been struggling with my Bible reading this week. Not glorying in that, but saying, you know what? I'm human too. I struggle with that too. How can we equip each other to pursue godliness better? So our lives are meant to be in context of community. Christian fellowship, to be Christian, has to include the gospel. Otherwise, fellowship, as we've kind of defined it, could be had by non-Christians. And that's not the deep level of fellowship we're talking about here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. So Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So what are pastors to do? They're supposed to do the work of the ministry? No, they're supposed to equip the saints, saints being all Christians. They're supposed to equip the Christians for the work of ministry, a work of service. And what is that work? It's so that people may attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. So isn't that what we've been talking about this summer? The spiritual disciplines are meant to be a pursuing of godliness. They're not supposed to be for anything else. They're supposed to be for godliness. And here, the Apostle Paul is saying, you Christians, us Christians, as this local body, we're supposed to be having relationships that lead to godliness. We're supposed to have fellowship that spurs us on to mature manhood as every part working properly makes the body grow, builds it up into Christ. So again, it's not us doing it by ourselves. It's Christ in you. But you have that responsibility of using your giftedness, of having Christian fellowship, having real relationships where the gospel can be proclaimed and applied. I'm running out of time, so let's go on to the last one there. The role of struggle in the pursuit of spiritual disciplines. The role of struggle in the pursuit of spiritual disciplines. So lest we leave the class disillusioned, Practicing these disciplines is not going to come naturally. It's not going to be easy. We're going to endeavor to grow in grace, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to do those things out of a love for God and a love for neighbor, but it's not going to come easy. Let's go back to our theme verse there in the last part. So 1 Timothy 4 again. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We won't read the entire thing this time. I'm just going to pick it up in 7. I'm going to skip a verse. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself or discipline yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Did you catch that? We toil and we strive. It's not going to be easy. Toil and strive. It's hard work. Well, it's work? Yes, it's work. But it's not work based on you. It's not based on your performance. It's not based upon what you bring to the table. How do I know that? Keep going. Did you catch what our hope is? We toil and strive because there's something more there. Because we have our hope set on the living God. We pursue these things. We discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Because we have our hope set in God, not in ourselves. We have our hope set in the finished work of Christ on the cross rather than my performance in these things. I have my hope set in my final not guilty in Christ's work, in Christ's continued to work through the Spirit, not in my work. So these things aren't legalism. These things don't add to what Christ has done. No, they depend upon what Christ has done and is doing. So we toil and strive. We work because Christ has worked and won it for us. We have our hope set on the living God, not ourselves. We will fail. The flesh wars against the Spirit. The Spirit wants to honor and to magnify Jesus Christ. He does that through His Word. He does that through times of meditation on His Word, of hiding His Word in your heart. And the flesh rebels against that. The flesh is against the Spirit. So we are to toil and strive against that, but we're not to give in as believers. There's going to be seasons of practicing these things, and it's going to be dry. You're going to open the Bible, like we all do. You're going to read a couple chapters. Man, I did not get anything out of that. That was a waste of time. You know, you wouldn't say that out loud, but you're thinking, I didn't get anything out. How am I supposed to grow in godliness from Numbers? How am I supposed to grow in godliness? I'm reading Leviticus. It's Old Testament stuff. But as you grow in your love for God and you repent of those things, you ask the Spirit, we ask the Spirit, God, give me a desire to be in your word. I know your word is what you've given to us for the purpose of godliness. You've given us all things necessary in your word. God, I want to repent of my affection for sports over my affection for reading your word this week. I want to repent over my affection for comfort rather than reading your word this week. I need your Spirit to move. I need your Spirit to work. Because it's going to happen. You're going to struggle. There's going to be seasons of dryness. But brothers and sisters, if you've been Christian long, you know that those will come and those will go. We need to persevere. We need to repent of those things. God has opened your eyes to the wondrousness of the gospel. He has made you see Him for who He truly is. He has done the work of making you a child of God. In the Bible, He teaches that He will carry you until the end. You will persevere in your faith to the end. But God has chosen as a means of doing that for you to practice these things, for us to do these things, for our affections to grow for Christ in these. So we're not adding to Christ's work. We're not supplementing it. We're not doing something that He couldn't do. No, we're pursuing Him in the ways He's called us to pursue Him. Let's quickly look at Colossians 1:28. I know I'm going to be borrowing time today. Colossians 1:28. I think the same principle is here. Colossians 1:28-29. Him, so Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. So don't leave today hearing Justin tell you to go pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and do these things. No, we need to cast ourselves on the grace of God in Christ Jesus and say, God, I want to know You more. God, I want to love You with my life. God, I want You to be my supreme goal. I want my love for You to be over all things. I want to find my satisfaction in You. I want that to affect every area of my life. God, I need You to do it. Just as I need You to save me, I need You to work these affections in my heart. I need You to bring me into the context of a community of believers who can come alongside me and can spur me on to pursue you. God, my flesh doesn't want that, but I need you. So as we toil and as we strive, we're doing it in the power of Christ on the cross. We're doing it in the power of the gospel. We have some application questions here at the end. I'll read Don Whitney's quote there on your sheet before that. Just as the only way to God is through Christ, so the only way to godliness is through the Christ-centered practice of the spiritual disciplines. So out of a practice of the spiritual disciplines that flows from the gospel, from what Christ has done and is doing. So you have some application questions there. Which one of these disciplines do you need the most growth in? Who could you ask for help if you're struggling to implement it? Which of these disciplines has God given you grace to have sweet seasons in? How can you use this to be an encouragement to yourself and to others? Do you have someone in this local body with whom you can have real Christian fellowship? If not, is there someone you can pursue to help spur each other on in your pursuits of godliness? And finally, will you discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness? Where and when will you begin? Let's pray. God, we're sinners, Lord. We need you and your Son on the cross to die and pay a penalty we could never pay. God, we need you to work in our hearts and open our eyes so that we may see the gospel, that we may cling to you and repent of our sin. God, we need you to save us today every bit as much as we ever did. God, we can't earn this thing. We can't add anything to it. We can't make you better. But God, we need you continuing to work in our lives as you have promised. God, your Spirit longs to work in our hearts to bring you glory through the Bible, through interaction with other believers, through fasting, through serving, through interaction with unbelievers. God, you want to bring yourself glory through all of these things. God, you have saved us and you will keep us until you call us home. God, may we be faithful to pursue you in the ways that you have designed. God, as John Piper has succinctly said, we find you in the Bible or we don't find you anywhere. And so God, we thank you for your gift of grace to us in your word. God, how you will use it to war against our flesh and it will win. God, that your work on the cross and you have called it, when you call us home, God, you will be victorious over everything. So God, we pray that you would use, just the way the different teachers taught us in this class to pursue godliness. God, incline our hearts to be satisfied in you. God, make us long for the day when sin is no more and we see you face to face. But God, make us also long to be in your word, to memorize it, to cling to you when we don't see you face to face. God, would you use people in this local body to spur each other on so that we may pursue godliness. God, may we not do these things as a magical trick or out of performance or out of comparison or out of any other wrong motive, but may we do it out of a motive of love for you and desire to know you more and to be conformed into your image. God, I pray that you would do this work, your Spirit would move. In Jesus' name, amen.